Last night, I still hadn't even come up with a sermon. And usually the Lord gives me stuff down through the week, and I'll have like two or three sermons that I can, you know, that he'll impress upon me. And I'm talking to Tink last night, and I said, "Honey," I said, "I don't even have anything." She said, "Well, now, you know, it's this time of year, we should, you know, maybe it's Christmas, you know, maybe we should." And so I got to praying about that. And the Lord gave me a good Christmas sermon for you this morning. It's called The Blood. And, you know, what better Christmas sermon could we have than the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen? What better Christmas sermon? And we got another couple of weeks. The Lord may give me another direction. But anyway, if you turn with me to Leviticus, the 17th chapter, the 11th verse, and you know what? I'll tell you what. You may have it marked in your Bible, but if you don't, you mark her in yellow, because this verse right here means so much to us. Means so much to us as Christians. Leviticus, the 17th chapter, the 11th verse. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the souls." Amen? It's the blood. Praise God, it is the blood. Let us pray. Lord, we come, Lord, to you this morning. Lord, I come with nothing but praise my heart for you, Lord. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that today, Lord, as we're here this morning, gathered here, Lord, for this sermon, I pray, Father, that it be exactly just the way that you'd want it. I pray, Lord, that it would go out, Lord, and touch the hearts and the souls just exactly the way that you'd have them to be touched, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. And amen. Without blood, there can be no life in this physical body. Am I right? There's just no way. It says that the average woman has 6 to 7 pints of blood in her. The average man has something like 7 to 8 pints of blood in them. That's the average. Of course, anyone is bigger or smaller is going to have less. But that's just the average is what I'm trying to tell you. It says that losing 40% of that blood, and you're in big trouble. If you lose 40% of that, which I think is like 2-point-some-odd pints of blood, of that pint, if you lose that much blood, you're in trouble, what I can gather. A nurse like Debbie or somebody can tell you just exactly what it is. But you see what? The blood supplies sugar, it supplies oxygen, it supplies hormones to our cells to help us to live, right? It also carries waste away. Well, it carries the waste away from those same cells. The blood also contains clotting agents, which you know that. If you get cut, if you're not on some kind of aspirin or medication to keep your blood thin, your blood will clot. That's what stops it from bleeding, right? It does that. White blood cells have antibodies in them to do what? To fight infections. That's what they do. Did you know that the blood regulates our pH in our body? Did you know that? That's what the blood does? The blood that flows through our bodies is truly amazing, is it not? It is amazing. There just cannot be life without that blood flowing through our body. There just cannot be. I don't care what we think or say about it. It just won't be. This also can be said about the blood that flows through the Bible. Amen? This being said, that if you cut the Bible anywhere, that the blood will flow out of the Bible. And I believe it. Amen? I praise God for it. The blood's mentioned 427 times in the Bible. That's how much the blood is mentioned in there. You know, so no wonder that we say that if you cut it, that it'll bleed. The Bible says full of the blood. It's not some minor theme that's in there. Praise God. The blood is a major theme that runs throughout the Bible. And there's a reason for it, folks. There's a very good reason for us. Without the blood, the gospel is dead. Can I say that? Without that blood, we are spiritually dead if it's not for the blood of Jesus Christ that flows through our veins and that has been put upon us. We're spiritually dead, folks. You know what it tells us in Matthew 26:28? "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin." If it was not for his blood, I want to tell you something this morning. We would have no hope if it was not for the blood of Jesus Christ being shed upon the cross. Paul added in Colossians 1:4, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Amen. You know what? What forgives us of our sin? It's that blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ in his finished work on the cross. That's where we have forgiveness. It's through his blood. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:18-19, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen? That's where we're redeemed. Peter said it. And then in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a theme that runs through the Bible. The early church understood the importance of this. There were 22 sermons that were preached in the book of Acts from different preachers. Now listen to this. And all gave the same message. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what saves a person right there. That's what saves us, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Why was the death important? Because his blood was shed for us. Amen? That's why it's important. Of course we know the resurrection is important. We know his burial is important. But we know that his resurrection is important because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They understood that. When God looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, whenever God looks down upon your life, he looks at you through rose-colored glasses. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ that's been applied to your life. That's what he sees. Let's put the blood of Jesus Christ under a microscope this morning, folks, and let's look at it and see. Then let's see if we can complete the picture of what the blood means to us. Number one, the blood is perfect. The blood of Jesus Christ is perfect. The virgin birth established his righteousness. Now we know we're coming upon the Christmas season, and you know what? They tried to take the virgin birth out. I want you to know this morning that if Jesus Christ is who he says he is, the virgin birth is important. It is very important. It's the main reason. Why? And why is that important to the blood? Because whenever Jesus Christ was born to that virgin, brother, his blood was perfect. There was no human blood in him. He was perfect. Judas cried out. Even Judas said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. That's what Judas cried out whenever he said that over in Matthew 27:4. He knew Jesus Christ was perfect. After all was said and done, Paul explained it in 2 Corinthians 5:20-21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead to be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ had no sin in him. He was perfect. Thus his blood was perfect. Amen? Pilate said to the chief priests and the people, I find no fault in him. Pilate could not even find it. Jesus himself said in John 8:46, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you believe me not? In other words, can any of you prove me to be guilty? That's what Jesus was trying to say. Guilty of sin. Jesus Christ was a man that lived on this earth, or God that lived on this earth, brothers, and he did not commit sin. He was perfect in all his ways. Perfect. Hebrews 7:26. For such a high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, made higher than the heavens. I want you to know that Jesus Christ was perfect. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him no sin. And in him was no sin. I can cause, and that there was no sin in him. Praise God, that's why his blood is perfect. The virgin birth is absolutely essential, folks, to the salvation of our souls. I want that understood. If he would have had a natural father, if he would have had it, the sin nature of Adam would have been imparted unto him. But it was not. The father is the one. And she was a child of the Holy Ghost. And praise God, there was no sin in him. The sin imparted by Adam could not have been imparted unto Jesus. His blood was perfect. His death would not have provided redemption. It couldn't have done it. If that had been the case. But praise God, the Bible clearly teaches us that Jesus was born of a virgin. Stand upon that until Jesus Christ takes me out of here. Praise God. The truth of Christmas, right there it is. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jeremiah 31:23. And I find this quite interesting. How long will thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created you. Do you know what that verse of Scripture means in the Greek? It's telling us that the new thing is found in the earth, that a woman had a child without a man. That's what it was talking about. And they didn't have the things that they have today to try to artificially inseminate anybody. Back then, they didn't have that. Praise God. What he was saying was the new thing, because the Holy Spirit was going to do it. Amen? It certainly was a new thing. Praise God. And I want to tell you something else. The blood is pure. Remember how one of the functions of the blood running through our veins is to carry the waste away? Remember that? I said that. That's one of the things. The blood purifies our bodies is what it does. The blood of Jesus Christ, the pure blood that the Lamb of God takes whenever He comes into our hearts. Amen? The day that I got saved and the day that you got saved, the moment you got saved and the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to our life, it took the impurities that were there out of our life and made us fit subjects for the kingdom of heaven. Amen? That's what it did. Praise God. There is a treatment out there that's called, that's where they take the blood and run it. It's like almost like dialysis, and run it through a machine and take all the impurities out of the blood. This is mostly for cancer patients is what they did. And what they do, and then as they do that, they pump it back in after they get all the impurities out of it. And whenever they do that, the blood is able to fight against the cancer a whole lot better. Matter of fact, people, it's not quite dialysis. The prayer God is called chelation, is what it's called. When it's pumped back in, it helps them fight. Paul tells us in Hebrews 9:13-14 that the blood of Jesus does the same thing when it's applied to our life. For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, had himself up without spot to God, purged your consciences from dead works to serve the living God. That's what the blood of Christ does for you and I. That's what it does. It purifies us. 1 John 1:7 tells us, but if we walk in the light as He is the light, us from all sins. What can wash, yeah, I love the song, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. That was found. If you need something for your life today, if you're back here today and you do not know Jesus, it's nothing but the blood can do that for you. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, with your vain conversations received from the traditions of your fathers, folks, brothers and sisters, we is through the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us whole. Amen. We're purifying. You know that? His blood is perpetual. Back in 1968, whenever I was in sixth grade or somewhere around about there, it was probably 69, say I was in sixth grade, they took us to Washington, D.C. to the Smithsonian Institute. That's where we went on our little sixth grade trip. And while I was there, I got to see the perpetual motion pendulum. I don't know if any of you, how many of you have heard of that? Have you ever seen it? But anyway, it's called Falcon Pendulum or something like that. What they do is this thing, it goes by the Earth's rotation, and it goes by a magnet. There's nothing mechanical that runs it. It just keeps right on going. And it's perpetual. It just keeps on going. That's what I'm saying. The blood of Jesus Christ is perpetual, folks. You know what? Even after I'm saved, whenever He's done the work of my life, there are times that I need Jesus Christ back to, that whenever I've done wrong, I say, Lord, help me again, Lord. Help me get through this stuff. And He does this. This type specifies, is pointing to Jesus in blood in Hebrews 7:27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices for his own sins and then for the people, for this he did once when he offered up himself. When they started that pendulum, it stayed started until they went there here a couple years ago, and I was going to go over there and see that. I'm glad I didn't. I didn't know they'd taken it out. They'd taken this thing out of it. But you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ was done once and for all. And you know what? It doesn't have to be done anymore. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9:26. For then must we often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered up one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Listen to me. Whenever he died on the cross, and the blood of Jesus Christ was sacrificed for our sins, he had no need to do it anymore. He had no need to do it anymore. For brothers, it's there. It's there to cover. The death Jesus set in motion is continuous today for all who trust in him. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting God, through that covenant that is there for everlasting, through the blood that he shed I want you to know there's no more need for any other offerings out there. They don't need this. They don't need to sacrifice any more sheep. They don't need to sacrifice any more goats. They don't need to do anything except Jesus Christ into their heart and accept the work. I tell you, I am thankful for that. His blood has continuous perpetual power. His blood has that. And I tell you, I thank you for that. His blood is powerful. Can we say that this morning? His blood is, Revelation 5, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I want you to know, that's amazing power right there, amen? That is amazing power to do what he did right there. Revelations 12:11 also tells us, strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them. And by the word of his testimony, they loved their lives unto his death. It takes a lot of power to do that. I want you to know it's through Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of his testimony, our testimony, that we can overcome. That's the power of God's blood. There have been many who tried to deny the preacher in Texas, down here, but I can't pronounce his name. But what, you know what he said? He was a Bible teacher in Texas at some school or college or church down there. He said, the red liquid that ran through the veins and arteries of Jesus' mortal body is not related to our salvation. Oh, yeah? Really? It's not? When it's all through it. It says by his blood we are. It's through his blood that we can have that. And they try to make it out like it. I say, let God be true and every man a liar, okay? That's what I say. Let God be true. Hebrews 9:22. In almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is what? There's no remission. There's none. If Jesus Christ had not died upon the cross, me and you would have no hope. Because of the resurrection. Praise God. We sing it. We sing that song. It says, oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. I've said this here before, but you know what? There was a song out here years back, and I remember this song because it said, who can take a black heart and wash it in red blood and make it white as snow? The Hinson juice. Well, praise God. What truth? What truth is there? This said in 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter said it was precious. And I want you to know something this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious to us, is it not? It is precious. I may have told this story here before, but there was a wealthy art collector one time. Him and his son went all over the world and collected very, very valuable art. Van Gogh's and... Anyway, war broke out at the time that they... About the time that... This young man was about 20 years old. Well, he's at war. I guess they had come under attack, and the place where he was at, he was going out to help the wounded soldiers. And anyway, someone shot and killed him also. His dad was very distraught, they said. And he said that he just sat around the house for months and just moaned and mourned the loss of his son. And I guess one day there'd come a knock on the door, and here was this young man, it was a young soldier, had come to the door, bringing a paper, saved this man, had got him out of there and saved him and brought him. So he decided he wanted to run. He wasn't a very good painter, but he painted a portrait of his son. So the guy took it and hung that picture of that son up on that mantle. And he said he sat there and he watched, and he said that he would sat there and he'd look at that and it reminded him of his son. And, you know, he got happy and he started to get out more. Well, anyway, the old man passed away eventually. His art collection, which was worth millions of dollars, was put up for auction on sale. And all these art collectors from all over the world came to look at his art collection. They were going to bid on it. And whenever they got there, I guess the first picture that the auctioneer put up was this picture of this man's son. And everybody there was starting to say, what is this? We come here, we want to bid on these artworks of Van Gogh, and I forget the other artists. But anyway, and this auctioneer said, no, this one has to be the first piece to go. So he put it up there. Who would give me $100 for it? Who would give me $25? Who would give me $20 for it? Finally, an older gentleman in the back said, will you take $10 for that? And the auctioneer said, sold. Sold it to him for $10, this picture of this man's son. And then the auctioneer said, ladies and gentlemen, that conclusion for today. And you know what the man had in his will? The person that bid on that piece of art got the rest of his artwork for nothing. Got it all for nothing. For $10, he bought millions of dollars worth of artwork. You know what? That's how precious the blood of Jesus is. You understand? God, whenever God let Jesus die with it, when you accept the blood of Jesus, you get everything with it. Praise the Lord. I tell you, we got all the benefits to go along with it. Amen. We didn't have to pay an extra dime for it. Except, I am so thankful that I accepted Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, I believe that you can say the same thing. If you, in your heart this morning, I believe you can say that and say, you know, praise God, I accepted Jesus and I've got all these benefits to go along with it. And you know what? The precious blood of Jesus makes it all possible for us. Amen? It does. The blood is protective also. Do we understand that? Remember how those white cells fight off? You know, they float around, they rush to that area. That's why sometimes you'll see redness around that area. That's why you'll see that pus that comes out of that. That's that white blood cell surrounding that infection. You know? Remember back over in Exodus where it tells us about the night that they had to put the blood over the doorpost and over the man? The death angel was coming. And God told them they had to do that. And it was a Passover. And whenever they did, you know what? The death angel passed over them. I want to tell you something. You may die spiritually one of these days. But if the blood of your heart, you will never die spiritually. It protects you. Amen. It does that. You put it upon. Who can do it? You know what? When we speak of being under the blood, what are we saying to you when you're under the blood of Jesus Christ? I want you to know this. I beg you, before you leave here this morning, before the death angel comes and knocks upon your door, I want you to know something. Unless Jesus Christ comes back to get his church, the death angel is going to knock on your door. It's going to knock on my door one day. And I want you to know we need the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our heart. We need it. Make sure. And I want to tell you this. One application of it will do. The old Brill Cream commercial, a little dab will do you. You know, praise God, just a drop of Jesus' blood. Just a drop of it can cover you. Can make you right. Can make you fit subject for the kingdom of heaven. Can it not? Amen. They come and get a song for me. I'm done. How appropriate for a Christmas sermon, huh? God and His blood can make us perfect and fit subjects for the kingdom of heaven. Can it not? Amen.